Black Friday, wow, shop Wayfair now. Month-long big deals, yeah, these are steals.
70% less money spent.
You can't go wrong, check out the song. Festive decor, Black Friday score. Silence and treats,
saving with ease.
Lights for your house, lamps for your spouse.
Save at Wayfair.
On dining chairs, mattresses too. Sheets that are you, everything home. These things in chrome. Here's a good clock, area roads. Fast shipping, wow, Wayfair is how.
Win the season, win the season.
Wayfair, 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 Wayfair.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to a world first up the Poshcast on the way home from Crawley Town, where Posh have won 2-1 in the Virtue Trophy. The three-peat is still on. I should basically just give you a warning. We can't silence the sat-nav tonight. So if you do hear any directions, we apologise. We're doing our best. We wanted to get an episode out for you tomorrow. And this was the best way of doing so. So I am joined by Ashley and Charlie in the back as we go home in Ashley's wagon from Crawley. 2-1, brilliant scenes at the end, which I was involved in. Managed to hug Carl Johnston, which was a nice way to end the night. And what did you think of the game, Ashley?
Well, look, it was nothing. It was not a spectacle, was it? We struggled for probably 90 minutes. We were fortunate to go 1-0 up, and then it looked like we were going to do our best to throw it away. And then up steps Donny O'Brien Brady. What a boy. From the abyss, pretty much. On as a substitute and scores the winner. A tidy finish, took a deflection, we think. And look, that's classic Peterborough United, isn't it? John said that the sat-nav's going off. I'm going to be honest with you. I've scheduled in Wembley around April time next year because it looks like all roads lead to there. I think it's that guarantees us an away tie because we've finished second in the group, so we'll have an away tie in the southern section. But look, it wasn't amazing, but we won the game. That's all that matters in these cup competitions, isn't it?
Yeah, I had a great time tonight. I think it was just classic Virtue, just chaos. I think we hit the bar a couple of times, didn't we? Like, tackles were flying in. It did feel like the game meant something to the players on the pitch, which was nice. I think Crawley really wanted to go through. You could hear that by Scott Lindsay, how much he was shouting. I thought it was a good performance, actually. Considering the squad we had out, and really none of the first team players had a massive part to play in the game, I think. And the ones that did, you know, Lisby, Otto, not Tom O'Connor, but they're definitely the wingers. They seem to be not fully engaged in the game. A couple of challenges shirked and stuff, which I can understand. But yeah, just to get that win at the end and limbs of the season in the Virtue, who would have thought? Like, unbelievable scenes at the end. It was just really nice. And it's great for Luke Williams, obviously. He's come in first 2 weeks. He's gone through in the FA Cup. He's battered Wimbledon in his first league game, and he's gone through in the Virtue Trophy, cleaning up Darren Ferguson's mess. So, yeah, fair play to Luke Williams, and now, you know, a good week on the training ground. Yeah, what a good day in the trophy.
Yeah, I'd say it was probably the worst team performance under Williams. Not that it wasn't terrible, was it? And we did have a few chances. Like, we hit the bar twice. Lindgren should have scored late on, but it wasn't great. You could tell there was a quality drop-off compared to what we usually have. But let's talk players. I'll start on a very positive. I thought Jimmy J. Morgan deserves hell of a lot of credit. He works tirelessly up front, I thought. And that's credit to him, really. You know, young lad on loan from Chelsea, under 1,000 people in that ground tonight. Would have been very easy for him not to put in the hard yards, but he did put in the hard yards. He got rewarded for it with a goal where he just charged down the keeper, and their keeper was atrocious, by the way. Just looked so dodgy. So I thought he was great, and I also want to give Fabian Claxton an early shout, making debut tonight. Never really looked ruffled, I thought, for the 60 minutes that he was on the pitch. I thought looked composed at the back. You couldn't tell it was his first appearance. Grew into the game a bit and did himself a credit. Didn't look out of place, did he? I didn't think.
No, I think you're right there. And look, he was probably stitched up a little bit. There was one moment where Tom O'Connor's fizzed one across the goal, and put it out for a corner early on, and that's not what you need from your experienced centre-back when you've got an 18-year-old, 19-year-old making their debut for the football club, is it? But he settled himself down after that moment, didn't really show any frustration or anything like that, and ultimately, that's a big step up for him when, allegedly, I saw a tweet today, he was playing for Corby a couple of weeks ago. Don't think we saw anything from the club on that one. Not sure who's called him back, whether that was the new gaffer that's called him back, but a good performance. Obviously, John, you mentioned the Crawley goalkeeper being absolutely horrible. It was another poor night for Reyes. I was not convinced by that man tonight. The sooner that we get round to January and can send him back to Norwich, I think the better, although I'm not sure that that entirely solves the situation, because it's probably a case of we need to get rid of three goalkeepers before we bring one in. Wouldn't want to have seen Bilo tonight. Blackmore's obviously in the abyss still, but yeah, Reyes did not do anything to convince me that we need him for the rest of the season. So that was probably about where I'm at with him. I think that he's not done anything special. Am I concerned if he's our backup goalkeeper? No, not really, but his kicking was poor. Yes, it was a difficult night and in the rain on a zippy pitch, but you know, he got closed down at least twice today, didn't he? And should have probably done better with the chance that he'd been given by the manager.
Yeah, I think both ends, obviously. You mentioned Jimmy J. Morgan, fantastic application from him. It's so easy for a lone player from a Premier League club to come in, and especially if you get dropped, just let your head go down and be thinking about getting back to your parent club or where else can I go on loan. But the fact he came in a trophy game away at Crawley on a pretty grim night and just ran his socks off is a credit to what a great character he is. And it just backs up everything that everyone, you know, the management staff, the ownership, everyone has said about him, that he's just a quality guy. And then, yeah, Reyes, wow. I mean, the Crawley goalkeeper as well, to be fair, was terrible. So I don't know whether it was just a case of that zippy pitch making it a really difficult night for goalkeepers. And to be fair, Crawley pressed hard. Shimanga especially, you know, really closed him down quickly. But you'd expect that from a Scott Lindsay team. I'm sure Reyes was told before the game, you know, Luke Williams said he knows Lindsay's teams. I'm sure he was told before the game, look, you're going to be under some serious pressure when you've got the ball. And he did himself no favours, did he? I mean, he had a young centre-half to his right who he did stitch up a couple of times with some poor passes. He took touches when he didn't need to. His distribution long was very poor. There are a couple of times where he just absolutely thundered it down the middle of the pitch with no real aim. I thought he was pretty poor tonight, Vicente Reyes. And yeah, I think the goalkeeper situation is one that we're going to need to have a look at. But he was saved by a very composed defence ahead of him, I thought. Claxton was good. And I just want to give more props to Tom O'Connor, because I am rapidly falling in love with Tom O'Connor. I think he's one of my favourite posh players in the last couple of seasons. He's just composure personified, just never looks fazed by anything. You know, Ash gave him rightfully praise at the weekend for playing so long against Wimbledon with a booking. Tonight he played with two very inexperienced partners and looked to guide them through the game, communicated well. When he made mistakes on his own, he instantly took credibility for them. Yeah, he's exactly what I like to see. So underrated, very understated, but putting in performances, 7 out of 10s, 8 out of 10s consistently every week, and that's all you can really ask for. And when you look at the players that we've brought in, there's a real shout that Tom O'Connor could be one of our most important signings of the season, because he's just been a revelation in our back line.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, Chaz. He's just class, isn't he? Really, really good player. Hopefully we can get him. Dara's intimated that we can get him on a permanent, and from everything that I've seen so far, I'd love to have him here longer term than a season, because I just think he's just a good footballer. I thought of probably the players of more interest that came into the team. I didn't think it was necessarily a bad or a good night for Brandon Keller. I thought he looked okay, overhit a couple of through balls, but in general worked pretty well. I just thought it was an all right performance. I wouldn't have any qualms throwing him in on that display, but I'm not sure he's knocking on the door of Ben Woods, who was actually very good when he came on. I thought Woods injected a bit of quality into the game. Keller was unlucky with a free kick, wasn't he, that hit the bar. Really good save actually from the dodgy Crawley goalkeeper. I thought it was a bad night though for Clyde Lawless. I really didn't. Well, you talk about Reyes and his lack of urgency really surprised me, but Lawless as well, he just seems to want to glide through games a lot of the time, and I'm not sure he has the ability to do that. I feel like he needs to start showing a bit more application and desire, and just, and maybe that's not his game, I don't know, but it feels like he kind of wants to stroll through games a little bit like a Lee Tomlin, but he doesn't really have that sort of ability on the ball to justify that lack of doggedness or work rate. And it was just one of them performances that just was really insipid from him. He gave the ball away a lot, didn't really offer that much going forward. And if you're trying to knock on the door of the manager, and the fact is he was on the bench again at the weekend, so Williams must have seen something that he reasonably liked in Lolos in training. But I'm not sure really that, again, you're fighting for places now because we're in decent bit of form. And I'm not sure Williams is going to look at that performance and go, well, I need to be calling on Clyde Lolos again. It was another performance where I'm just not really sure what he's offering this team.
No, do you know what? I think you're right. And I think the most disappointing thing with Lolos tonight is that it was Crawley where he really shone most recently. Obviously, his time at Bolton wasn't particularly great, other than maybe scoring that winner against Posh in that 1-0 victory. But We get in early, don't we? We watch the warm-ups. And I asked Luke Williams the question of the players were only out for less than 20 minutes warming up against Cardiff. We've seen that that's his thing. He said that that's the thing that he's most interested in. And Lolos is like working at like 20% in the warm-up. And it carries through to the game. Like, we saw there was... He struggled to get his shot off. There was a few times down the far end in the first half where he was on the edge of the box and you'd expected him to have shot. It's a really frustrating signing for me, and I still don't see it. We obviously have made comments previously on Chris Conn-Clarke being sent out to non-league. He's obviously doing very well there. I still don't think that he's the answer in League One. But if the question was we need a new cam to replace Chris Conn-Clarke because Fergie didn't rate him, I really don't know what we've seen in Clyde Lolos, because again, like you say, John, it just does not work. And yeah, clearly must be doing something on the training pitch to get himself in match day squads. But if tonight was his audition for a starting position instead of Matt Garbutt in that 10 role when we play Stockport, I think he failed that particularly miserably. I think two players that did do well and switched at half time were both CJ and JD. They were up against a tricky winger both sides, and it wasn't anything special from them, but they did their job. CJ obviously was trying his best to get forwards. We saw a few overlapping runs from JD himself, but again, I didn't really... Their focus tonight was clearly trying to keep the ball out of the net, because Crawley were pretty much on top of us for a great deal of the game. But as we always ask, they've done their job, they've kept it simple. I don't think we saw the best crosser in the club, as D-Max states from JD tonight. There was a few opportunities where the ball wasn't quite right, but again, I'm willing to let these players off based on the fact that JD wasn't in the squad at the weekend. CJ hasn't been in a lot of squads towards the back end of Fergie's time, so they're still finding their way and finding their feet. But yeah, overall it was a relatively good performance from our two right back and left backs across the pitch, so I can't complain at that one.
Yeah, I think another interesting one, obviously brought into the team, you mentioned Lolos had something to prove and proved very little. Someone who also had something to prove was Ryan de Havilland. I mean, that's an interesting one, isn't it, that he's been brought back into the side. I think the club were quite frustrated, Dara seemed quite frustrated, Fergie seemed quite frustrated that we couldn't move him on in the summer. He had offers from Scotland, I believe, that he turned down, was offered to go out on loan in the National League, turned that down. But maybe he's had a masterstroke, Ryan de Havilland, because thrown in from the start tonight, and I thought he was actually a good performer. I think Ryan de Havilland... I've never hated Ryan de Havilland as much as some people have in terms of his performances. I've always thought that he's generally done okay when he's played alongside Archie Collins, especially. You know, I remember they had a good run of games last season where he played against Cambridge, didn't he, and he scored. And Bolton away, he was singled out for praise by Fergie and by Darren McAntony. He's had good moments in a Posh shirt. And while I don't think he's ever going to be that starting midfielder, if we can have him as squad depth, then it's good. And he's sort of fits in the same bracket with another player, which I mean, we'll mention Donny O'Brien Brady, scored the winner tonight. Looked very angry after scoring the winner. Like, it's one of the most angry winning goal celebrations I've ever seen. But fair play to him, you know, he came on. As much as he probably lacked a bit of quality, what he did bring to the side was a real urgency when he came on. It looked like he wanted to get the game and the pace of the game going. Had a couple of neat moments, turns, and obviously, I think the finish was very deflected, but it was a great winning goal and a good moment for him and for the squad. And yeah, I just felt like the midfield area tonight, we were ran through a little bit, but, you know, De Havilland, Donny O'Brien Brady, Lolos, big nights for them. Some of them impressed, well, some of them far from impressed.
Well, Chaz, I think you've left me the choice between Lisby, Oddo and Lindgren as my players left to speak on. Have you got any preference who you want to hear me talk about?
You talk about, let's hear what John has to say about Oddo.
I knew you were going to say that. Look, it wasn't good, was it? It was just it's classic Abraham Oddo. I just thought he was awful again. I mean, people say he played all right the weekend. I didn't think he was particularly great. Tonight was back to Oddo of old, where, I mean, there was one moment which summed Oddo up, I thought, which was when he got the ball one-on-one in the box. I think it was about the 80th minute. We're chasing a winner, and you just want him to shift it or get a shot off or just do something. And he just chose to just run directly into the defender. Just no skill, just I'll try and bang a shot straight at him. Obviously, it hit the defender. The away crowd were like getting a bit frustrated with him at this point. I think there was definitely a few moans and groans in there, not just from me. And yeah, it's just not going to work with him. I mean, we do have a lack of options down the wings, and actually I don't think Lisby was great down the other flank, but even Lisby tonight, and I don't think it was his greatest performance, he had a goal ruled out for offside which looked questionable from where we were. I'm not sure that it was, maybe it was. He looks more of a goal threat. He nearly got on the end of another Woods cross, didn't he, where he just couldn't quite reach it, and he just looks a lot more of a goal threat than Oddo. And even on his worst performances, he's impacting the games in the final third more. And this is a guy that stepped up for Braintree like months ago. Oddo's been here, what, 18 months now nearly. And you don't need to hear more from me about me saying that I don't get it with him. But I didn't think it was a good night for Oddo. But at the minute, we're down to wingers. And if Williams wants to play with wingers, it's hard to think of any other options really that you can use out there. So I think he's probably got his place in the team at the minute.
Yeah, I think you're right. That's probably something that we'll discuss when we've finished on the game, is where was Declan Frith tonight. But I think my only frustration with Lisby today was we had John Travolta running the line on the end that we were at, and whether he made questionable decisions or not, I guess we will never know. But it's one of those ones where Lisby gives the... I appreciate he wants to play right on the line and keep it tight, but I think in a game like today you can give yourself a yard. It didn't look like the Crawley defenders had a great deal of pace, and I think that Lisby has that advantage on them, so he didn't need to be as offside as often as he was. There was a few times in the first half that I think all of the front three ended up being caught offside, which, you know, I just don't particularly think it's necessary. Lisby was good. I think that it's difficult for, although it worked on Saturday, I think it's difficult for both of the wingers that they are switching over. They don't ever feel like they probably get into a rhythm. Obviously, they're both left wingers, so when they come onto the right, it's naturally harder for them. But like you say, John, is that Lisby had the ball in the back of the net and was offside and got close to another one, and it just wasn't his night. But unfortunately, that's just the way that it is sometimes with these players that they step up. We said it time and time again. As long as, and I think that that's probably the key difference between Oddo and Lisby, is that you don't have to be good every single game. We don't expect that, but it's important that you show the effort. And Lisby consistently shows the effort, whereas I don't feel, and I'm sure that John probably feels the same, that Otto always shows the same effort, even if the ability maybe is or isn't there. We had high hopes for Otto tonight after his hat-trick, a good ground that he enjoyed, but yeah, he just didn't show anything, did he?
Well, before Chaz, you go, I forgot to mention there was another Otto chance where the ball was crossed into him and he had felt like he had an age to just shoot, and he just like stalled with the ball at his feet like 8 yards out. And we should also mention that it seemed like he was pretty lucky not to get sent off, or at least the ref took a lenient stance, because he got a cheap booking and then it seemed like he said something to the ref, because instantly their bench said, well, send him off then. And it's like he could easily have gone there in the Virtue Trophy just through petulance, and it's that sort of like petulant attitude that I don't know, it just, I don't want to feel like we're jumping on an Abraham Otto bandwagon after we've just won again, but it's just another one of those performances which was just frustrating to watch, I thought.
Yeah, I completely agree. It's like, if he'd been sent off there, I actually would have been fuming, like genuinely fuming, because you've basically just knocked us out of the Virtue Trophy, and for what? The cheapest of yellow cards, and then the cheapest of second yellow cards as well. I would have been livid. On Lisby, yeah, I think he's just never at want of trying, is he? He's always giving his all, and it's very difficult to be massively critical of a player who does that. You can see how much he cares. You know, after he scored the goal, or he thought he'd scored the goal, he went absolutely mental. And it's just that he's really likable, yeah. Really likable. And that's all we asked for at the end of the day, is effort. There were over 200 Posh fans there tonight, and that's all they wanted to see. Was just a team that were giving their all. And I guess the last one to touch on, and it's so frustrating, is Gustav Lindgren, because he had such a good chance and he went through, and it was 1-1 and it was late on. He goes through one-on-one and you're just thinking, go on Gustav, slot this away. That's your second goal in 2 games and you're flying under Williams, and you've scored the winner in the Virtue Trophy.
Third goal,
in 2 games. Second game in a row you've scored him. And you're flying under Williams. And it was so annoying. He was given too much time, and I think he got in his own head, which has been his issue for so long. It would have been another moment. It's another sliding doors moment for Gustav, isn't it? We've seen so many where he could have just kicked on at Posh if he just buried that chance, and he didn't. And yeah, it was an easy chance, wasn't it? He literally was played through, clean on goal. He had the chance to choose the own angle, like choose his angle of approach, open up his body or close off his body, depending on what he wanted to do. The keeper was, you know, in a bit of an awkward position. It should have been scored. Like, and most clinical strikers, I think Morgan or Leonard would have slotted that in. And yeah, frustrating for Gustav. I've not lost hope in him. I think there is still a chance that he gets reinvented under Luke Williams, but again, it would have been such a great moment for him, and he just didn't get it tonight. And keep going, Gustav. He's running harder for Williams than he was, and he did well to get himself in the position to have that one-on-one in the first place. But yeah, really annoying, because that could have been his moment.
Yeah, I think it's worth crediting Gustav for his attitude. I know you touched on it, but he's lost probably his best mate in Oscar Valin, hasn't he? And he's had a change of manager. I'm just fair play to him. Like, he keeps trying. It did feel like a bit of a step backwards, that miss tonight. And you just wonder how many more step backwards he can take, especially after everyone was so positive about him after he scored those 2 goals. And now you're kind of questioning, was that a blip, or are we back to Gustav? Like, I just don't know how many more chances he keeps getting if he keeps missing. And I think if he had scored tonight, that would have been really, really big for him, because like you say, Chaz, it just would have propelled him into, okay, this is an actual goal scorer under the new manager. But that's going to knock his confidence now. I think that's every player talked
have
about
we,
now.
Have we done Woods?
I think
we should probably talk about Ben Woods
you
again.
You can talk about Woods.
Yeah, let's talk about Woods, because it looked like we were on the ropes until he came on, I thought. And he's one of those players that, he's shown it in the last 2 games, hasn't he, under Luke Williams. He really wasn't afraid to grab that game by the scruff of the neck. And was it his ball to Dobby that meant that we scored the winner? Yeah, like, you can't really ask for much more, can you? And it's moments like that that little bit of quality. Like, we mentioned earlier that Keller played a few through balls and they were just over hit. That one for Donny O'Brien-Brady from Ben Woods was literally on a plate for him. It was touch and finish, which you're saying thank you to your teammate for that, aren't you? And I think that I tweeted when we... Did we give him man of the match at the weekend, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I wasn't sure with his performances under Fergie, but it's very clear to see that he's got a new lease of life under Luke Williams, and it really does look like the player that we were told that we were signing from Accrington, this ball-playing, goal-scoring, assisting midfielder, is we're really starting to see him, and I just hope that he continues to grow. And look, nights like that, people mock it. I said this to somebody that we were speaking to in the ground. People mock the Virtue Trophy, but whether it was a joke or not, some of those scenes at the end of the game are not to be sniffed at, because it's times like those that, as a Posh fan, you don't get them every week. It's been a rotten 18 months supporting Peterborough United. The Virtue Trophy has sort of been our safe place. It would have been a disaster to have gone out in the group stages on our defence of the title, but we're through. We live to fight another day, and I think that we should be thankful to those players for going until the very end, because they could have very easily, and I don't doubt that under different management they would have got their heads down, but they kept going and won us the game. So thank you to all of them for that, because it's another great night supporting Peterborough United.
Yeah, and well, I think it's also important to mention before we wrap that well done to over 200 fans. I think that's a great effort from everyone that went. For a club our size, I think we had nearly, 30% of the ground. So on a horrible evening, it's not been the best driving conditions or passenger conditions for me. well done. Well done if you made the effort, and the scenes at the end made it worth it, I think.
100%. I think the Virtue Trophy is such a Peterborough United thing, and I love it. I actually really enjoy it. I enjoy the little nights at London Road with 2,000 people. I enjoy the trips to Crawley. I enjoyed Gillingham last season and Brad banging in an absolute screamer. I do love the Virtue Trophy. It's become one of my favourite things about being in League One. And if we were to get promoted, a little part of me would be sad that we weren't competing in it. I'm going to be honest. I think the trips to Wembley it's provided us, the memories, Wrexham last season, even tonight, I don't think I'll forget those scenes at the end. They were great and they were hilarious and they were everything you want on a terrible little Tuesday night in Crawley. Yeah, fantastic. Up the Virtue Trophy and up the Poshcast.
Up the Poshcast.
Up the Poshcast and get me off this fucking M25.